I need to read the scripture here. We're going to start with the Gospel of Matthew today. And from that question that I started off the service with today, you remember what this scripture passage is referred to as, correct? It is the Great Commission, yes. And in Matthew's Gospel, at the end of it, chapter 28, beginning with verse 18, Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, since he's been given all authority, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The Gospel according to Matthew. Now, before I read the other scripture reading that's listed in your bulletin today from Paul's letter to the Romans, first of all, I want to pray, and then we will share a little story with you that will get us started. And I think while we're praying, I want to let you know that Stephanie Kinney, who is a faithful member of Cross Point Community Church, let us know yesterday that her Uncle Bob had a serious stroke and is in General Hospital in Akron, and through the night last night had 8 hours of surgery. And he's out of surgery now, and the next 8 hours will tell whether or not he makes it. He had a very serious stroke. They removed a blood clot successfully, but they're watching him very closely. And so she asked me if the congregation would pray. If you get my emails, you saw that last night. And the other person we can pray for is Roy Mennell today, a friend of many here, who fell off a roof and ICU, the brain section of ICU, because he hurt his head apparently. And so Roy Mennell we can pray for. So I'll include those two people in our prayer as we pray before this sermon. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gathered family here today once again. And we are mindful of the request of Stephanie Kinney, one of your people, we should say. And pray for her Uncle Bob, as we have been. We pray that the next 8 hours would be good for him, and that the work that the doctors were able to perform through the night will be effective in relieving the pressure upon his brain, and that he might be able to recover from this stroke that he suffered. We also lift to you Roy Mennell and pray your blessing upon him as he recovers. May the doctors be able to attend to him and make everything fine and well, and that he might be able to return home soon. And now we ask your blessing upon this word, the Great Commission, and the things that we're about to say and hear. Help us, our Father, to yield our lives to you, for you alone are our heart's desire, and we long to worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm talking about feet today, beautiful feet. And speaking of feet, I have a story about maybe not so beautiful feet. You can judge it. Here's a couple. They're going to get married. They are deeply in love. They're looking forward to their wedding, except for two things. The groom and the bride both have a secret they've been hiding for one another ever since they've known one another. And now they're going to get married, and they don't think they're going to be able to keep this secret any longer. So they seek out counsel, and the groom goes to the pastor and says, "Pastor, I got something I'm really worried about. You know we're going to get married. I have the most ugly and stinking feet of anybody on the planet. And I'm just afraid that when my wife smells my stinking feet for the first time, that she just might turn me away. She might up and leave me. And I'm just so worried about this. Can you help me know what should I do?" And the pastor says, "Well, that's pretty easy. Just wash your feet twice a day and make sure you wear socks all the time. Wear your socks. Never take your socks off. In other words, wear your socks to bed at night." This fellow thinks, "Well, that's pretty good advice. I think maybe I'll take that advice." Meanwhile, his bride went to the pastor's wife and said, "Ma'am, I'm getting ready to get married. I love him so much. What he doesn't know about me is I have the most stinking breath in the world. I'm so upset that he's going to find out and he'll up and leave me. What should I do? And she says, well, just brush your teeth 3 times a day and gargle and use mouthwash. And especially before he gets up in the morning, you set your alarm and you get up 10 minutes before him so you have a chance to brush your teeth and gargle before he even wakes up. So she thinks, well, that's a pretty good idea, and that's what she decided to do. Well, everything was going along hunky-dory. The wedding was perfect, and about 6 months later, he woke up in the middle of the night and realized that one of his socks had come off. And he is panicking, and he starts throwing the covers, and he's scrambling under the covers looking for that sock, and he's made so much movement, it wakes her up, and before she thinks, she blurts out, what in the heck are you doing? And he goes, oh my gosh, you must have swallowed my sock. Oh my word. Talking about beautiful feet today, I got something I'd like for you to do. I'd like for all of you to take off your shoes and your socks and let's just do an examination of all your feet right now. What do you think? Anybody willing to do that? Maybe we ought to compare them with some of these feet that I got some pictures of. Wow, now that, I don't know, that could be a beautiful foot. This is the ugly foot section, but some of you may think that's a beautiful foot. Let's see the next one. You see why I said this is the ugly foot section. Next. Oh my gosh. Next. Those is ugly feet. Next. Oh my gosh. Oh, next. We can't see that anymore. That's bad. Oh, now we're at the beautiful feet section. This is the beautiful feet, right? Next one. That's kind of nice. That's beautiful. Next. Beautiful feet. Wouldn't you, do you know that Americans spend over $2 million a year beautifying their feet? Isn't that something? I'm sure that all of you have beautiful feet, but I want to let you know something you probably never knew before, that the Bible actually has a prescription on how to have beautiful feet. Did you know that? It's right in the scriptures. It's right in Paul's letter to the Romans. The Bible actually tells us how to have beautiful feet just like that. You want to hear it? You willing to hear? Here's what Paul says. Be patient. Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. He says it's a longing of his heart and his prayer to God. I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it is misdirected zeal, for they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law, a reference to the law of Moses. For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. For Moses writes that the law's way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of its commandments. But faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart, who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth? And don't say in your heart, who will go down to the place of dead to bring back to Christ again? In fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. He's quoting Moses there in the book of Deuteronomy in his closing speech to the people of Israel. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. That if you confess with your lips, yes, you heard this last week. This is one of the early creeds. This is an early song or poem, one of the very earliest. That if you confess with your lips Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the lips one confesses and so is saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile alike are the same in this respect. So that's all people. They have the same Lord who generously gives to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they have never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the Scriptures say, here's the verse you've been waiting for, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. There you have it. You want to have beautiful feet? How beautiful are the feet that bring the good news, Paul says. He's quoting the prophet Isaiah, chapter 52, verse 7, where Isaiah is making that same point to the people of Israel, that those who spread the good news, that God is the God who saves, have beautiful feet. There you have it. Slide off. Because, my friends, where's my values? I lost my values. Here it is. I'm going back to my values. Because we value being a church characterized by grace, that's value number 3. And because we value Jesus' directive to the church, as well as individual Christians, to offer people Christ, that's value 4. And because, the top one on the last second page, we value reaching out and serving people in our community. Because of those values, the leaders of Crosspoint Community Church chose as a purpose statement sharing God's grace with our community. And this is what I would tell in that new membership class after we've talked about what it means to believe, to be a Christian. We're going to start talking about in that new membership class what it means to be part of Crosspoint Community Church. And the very first thing I will share with them is the beliefs, which we went over last week, the values, which are today, and mainly that purpose statement. Because it's important that everybody who fellowships with Crosspoint Community Church knows that our number one goal and purpose in life is to share God's grace with our community. And I want to tell you why, if I might. The first thing I need to say about that is I want to focus for a second on the word grace. I know that most of us know what grace means, but if it doesn't, I just want to quickly review that the very word grace in the original language means simply free gift. Free gift. And it's referring to the free gift of forgiveness that we receive when we pledge our faith in Christ. The very word grace implies that it cannot be earned. It cannot be earned. That's what Paul's saying in his letter to the Romans, that the Jewish people got it wrong because they are insisting that they're going to be saved by obeying the law of Moses. And Paul is very clear to say people are made right with God through their faith in Jesus. That's what grace is. I saw a humorous story the other day about a guy who passes away and he goes up to the pearly gates and there's St. Peter. And St. Peter says, listen, this is the way it's going to work. You tell me all the good things you did in life and I'll rack up some points for you. And if you get up to 100 points, then you're in. And the guy says, well, this should be pretty good, because he's thinking to himself, I lived a pretty good life. I tried to do the very best I could while I was on the earth. And so he says, I was married to the same woman for 65 years. How many points is that worth? He said, 2. 2? Geez, seems like it ought to be worth more than that. St. Peter says, what else you got? I was a member of my local church and tithed every Sunday for my entire life. From the time I was a child till the time I died yesterday, I was always there, always showing up at church, never missed a Sunday morning worship. How many points did I get for that? St. Peter says, 3. 3? He's thinking, man, I got to get to 100. Well, I started a soup kitchen myself and I worked in a homeless shelter. How many points did I get for that? 1. 1? The guy says, my gosh, at that rate, I'll only get into heaven by the grace of God. And St. Peter says, now come on in, boy, you got it right, finally. It's all by grace. You know, we can't earn it by starting a soup kitchen or working in a homeless shelter or anything else. It's all by God's grace. And when we're talking about receiving, we're talking about receiving God's grace. And when we talk about that mission statement, we're simply saying that those of us who have received God's grace have a calling upon our lives to dispense God's grace in our community. That's our calling. That's the purpose of this church. And if I had a new membership, and I will have a new membership class, that's what I'm going to tell them. that that's what's distinctive about this church. I mean, there's many churches that have that as their goal. I hope that all of them do. But we are saying for sure that we want to share God's grace with our community. That's exactly what Paul is talking about in his letter to the Romans, and especially as he comes to the end of it, and when he says, how can those people who are lost call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? We're about sharing God's grace with our community. That's what grace is all about. And we have a mission statement like that, and I think it pleases the Father's heart that we do. And I want to share that with you now, that it pleases the Father's heart. I believe that we have a purpose statement that pleases the heart of the Heavenly Father. Because the very most important thing for the Heavenly Father is that people might be saved from dying forever, from being separated from God forever. That's what spiritual death is. That's what the New Testament teaches. That you and I, indeed the whole human race, are caught up in the same boat of sin. And the result of that sin is death. And when the Bible speaks of the wages of sin as death, it means that it's talking about spiritual death, which is being separated from God forever. That's what it is. And the Father doesn't want that to happen. The very most important thing for him is that people come into this relationship with him. That's why he's waiting so long. Somebody brought up this morning, gosh, it would have been nice if the Lord would have came back this morning. And I just thought to myself, that's because he's being patient. 2 Peter 3, somewhere in there, it says that the Lord isn't slow about his promise to come back, but rather he's being patient, hoping that all will come to salvation. So it pleases the Father's heart. It pleases the Father's heart because that kind of a mission gives you and I a chance to comply with the marching orders of the Lord Jesus. I mean, when you read the four Gospels, it's pretty clear what Jesus has on his mind after he's been crucified and resurrected, and he's got 40 days on the earth to talk to his guys. And what is it that he talks about? What does he spend time talking about those 40 days? And I can't tell you everything he said because it's not all been recorded. But what has been recorded is very, very clear. On that very first day, on Resurrection Sunday morning, the disciples are locked behind doors, and Jesus suddenly appears to them and says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. This is according to chapter 20 in John's Gospel. As the Father has sent me, Jesus says, into the world to seek and save the lost, so now I'm sending you into the world and seek and save the lost. That's John's story. Luke tells us that later that very evening, I can't remember this, so I'm going to turn there. Luke says, later that evening, Jesus appears again and says to them, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. And it was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem, that there is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of these things. That's Luke remembers that part that Jesus said that later in the first Easter Sunday. The Great Commission that we read a moment ago could have been spoken anywhere from 3 days later up to 3 weeks later. We're not sure. But at some point, Matthew remembers Jesus saying, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me, therefore go into all the world and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and teach them to obey everything I've taught you, and I'll be with you always. Mark, in his gospel, on the day of ascension, last day now, Jesus is getting ready to go to heaven after 40 days. And Mark says that Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach this good news to everyone. It's pretty clear what Jesus wants the church to be about, and that's spreading the good news. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're trying to do in sharing God's grace with our community. And the reason is because this good news meets man's deepest need. It is our deepest need. We had a community meal here the other night. I was telling the people at the community meal that the church is called upon by God to meet people's needs, like for food, like we do at the community meal. And the church needs to be looking out for people who need clothing and shelter. And there will always be people who are in need of physical things like that. But all of those needs can be met, and still the basic need is never met. And that is the basic need that people need the grace of God through faith in Jesus. I was telling the people the other night, that's the most important thing. And I kind of challenged them head on there at our meeting before we ate dinner last night. I was trying to give them some soul food. And the deepest need really is for people to be saved, because without Christ, people are lost. The Bible's very clear that people are lost and they're going to spend eternity apart from God. And God doesn't want that, and we don't want that either. And so in sharing God's grace with our community, we're sharing the answer to their deepest need. The people are lost, without Christ that is, and they need to be found. And that's why we have that purpose statement. Another reason is that when we're sharing that grace, we're talking about the most important person who ever lived. Of course, his name is Jesus. Jesus. And what could you say about Jesus? I mean, Paul, in our opening statement today out of Philippians, kind of said who he was. He emptied himself. If you read that passage again in Philippians 2, he emptied himself. And the question is why? He emptied himself that we might be filled with all the fullness of God, it says somewhere else in the Bible. He was born into this world so that we might be born into his kingdom. Or as Paul tells the Corinthians, where is this? For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Jesus is the greatest message the world has ever heard, because Jesus is the grace of God, you see. He is the grace of God. For there's no other name under heaven by which men might be saved than the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Jesus, name above all names, we sang a little while ago. Beautiful Savior, blessed Redeemer, Lord, living Lord. All hail the power of Jesus' name, we sang a while ago. And what does that third verse say? Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe. The author has people who are not in Christ in his mind in that third verse. Let them all hail, you know, to the Lord. So, sharing God's grace with our community. And that can happen in several ways. I want to make this practical, too. It happens in many different ways. We, Chuck Lemon, Chuck, he shares God's grace with our community every Friday night when he's here to lead the recovery ministry that Crosspoint Community Church has, because Chuck's here every Friday night. And that's a way that we are sharing God's grace with our community. We shared God's grace with our community through Annie Dean and Gail Arthur and Heidi Cantlin, who head up the grief ministry that they offered to the community last summer and last fall, and will continue to offer from time to time when we feel that it's needed, the grief ministry. Why do we have that grief ministry? Why do we have that recovery ministry? Because we're trying to share God's grace with our community, and that's some ways that we can do that. We have been sharing God's grace with our community these February Sundays, when several people from Crosspoint Community Church, in fact, some of them are over there right now at the fire station, helping the fire department put on that breakfast. And we've had many people go over there and volunteer their time. Why are we doing that? Because it's a way for us to share God's grace with our community. We shared God's grace with our community 4 weeks ago yesterday, when 40 of us participated in the polar bear event. Why do we participate in the polar bear event? Besides the reason that it's fun and it's a thrill to jump into that cold water. Why do we do that? We just don't do that willy-nilly. We do that because we're trying to share God's grace with our community. We will share God's grace with our community 4 weeks from today when we gather to scatter on the fifth Sunday of every month. Why do we come together for worship, abbreviated worship service on those Sundays, and then go out in the community to do something for someone else? Because we're sharing God's grace with our community. 8 weeks from yesterday, we will share God's grace with our community as we host another Easter egg hunt. We will also be sharing God's grace with our community when we launch through Annie Dean and Karen Tate a divorce recovery ministry that's going to be launched sometime later this year. Don't know when, but Annie's working on it. We've got the materials in. They're taking the training, and we feel like that's another way that we could share God's grace with this community by offering people who need it divorce recovery. And it even has a children's component. How can we help the children recover from divorce? And that's another way that we're going to share God's grace with our community. Why are we doing those things? We're doing that to plant seeds. We are planting seeds in people's hearts and minds. That's what we're doing. How are we going to get those seeds to come to fruition? Two ways. I know I need to be brief. The first one's prayer. Prayer is the most important aspect of reaching people for Christ. Prayer is the most important. In that opening sentence today, Paul says, I wish to God, I hope to God, and I pray every day that people will be saved. And I need a whole sermon or two to talk about the importance of prayer for reaching people for Christ. But prayer is the number one thing that you and I can do in order to facilitate and enhance our ability to reach people for Christ. And secondly, we can open our mouths. We do a good job at getting our feet moving. We have beautiful feet. We're going into the community and doing all these things on a regular basis. And we are earning a reputation in this community for a church that cares. But you also have to open your lips, because nobody was ever saved unless they hear the good news. And so if we're going to be effective at reaching people for Christ, we also have to move the lips along with moving our feet. And we need to share God's grace in a verbal way that's appropriate to who you and I are. Needs another sermon, and maybe after Easter we'll dig into that a couple times. In fact, I'm hoping to offer a class sometime after Easter on this very thing. I have a 6- and 8-week class on tips on how to help you share that good news. But we must share that good news. I was so thrilled at the Lions Club meeting this last Monday night, as I'm sure that you were, Alan, and anybody else that was there. Because after Alan presented the check to me, and I had a few words to say to the group of people there about some of the things that we were doing with their help, with the help of the Lions Club, I went and sat down, and Suzanne, who's the secretary of the Lions Club, asked Mike, who's the president, can I have a minute to say something? And everybody quieted down, and Suzanne stood up where she was, and she said, I don't know where you people go to church, but if you don't go to church anywhere, I highly encourage you to come down to Cross Point Community Church. And she launched into a little speech there about how much the church, how much her faith means to her. I don't remember exactly what she said, but she had the courage that it takes. No doubt it takes courage. And she stood up in a room with 50 people in it and just gave it like a little 45-second encouragement to people to come to church. And that was a blessing to us who were there, wasn't it? And when she got done, Alan, I think it was, said, I'll second that. And Vanna was back there, said, I'll third that. And it was just a marvelous moment, because that's what needs to happen. And so, my friends, as I close this up, I just want to tell you that I have a dream. I have a continued dream that sharing God's grace with our community will become more and more a reality in our hearts and in our lives. And that it will continue to be the number one thing that covers us all and leads us on in our ministry. And that we will filter everything that we do in this place through that mission statement. Because that's the way it ought to work. If that's our purpose, then everything we do ought to somehow tie into sharing God's grace with our community. And I have a dream where every person that participates in Cross Point Community Church would find at least a couple minutes every day to pray. I know that many of you already do, and I thank the good Lord for you, who pray every day for Cross Point, that we would be more and more effective at reaching people for Christ. I have a dream that sharing God's grace with our community will just explode. I have a dream that people in this community will continue to more and more realize that Cross Point's all about sharing God's grace with the community. I have a dream that this will be a place where people more regularly than is happening now will come to faith in Christ, and they'll come up here and they'll stand here and share their story with us. You know, I was reading the other day about the Washington Monument, and it's under reconstruction right now. I guess it's been that way for a year or two. And they got this, you can't even see the Washington Monument now. I guess it's surrounded by blue wrapping of some kind and scaffolding. Well, back in the middle 90s, they did some restoration, and they took some marble wall down from the inside of the Washington Monument. And inside that monument, they saw some graffiti on the wall that somebody had put there back during the Civil War. Somebody during the Civil War wrote some graffiti on the wall of the Washington Monument, and this is what it says. Whoever is the human instrument under God in the conversion of one solitary soul erects a monument to his own memory more lofty and enduring than this monument. Isn't that good? And then it was signed BFF. Nobody knows who that is or who was that wrote that. But whoever is the human instrument under God in the conversion of one soul creates a monument to his own memory more lofty and enduring than this. I have a dream that Cross Point Church will leave a monument like that. That I will leave a monument like that. Because it's our church? No. Because it's the church that belongs to the Lord, and he deserves everything we've got. We enjoy and we relish and we are lavished by the grace that he's so abundantly supplied for us. We just need to remember all the time that the grace that we have received, thank God, is a grace that needs to be shared. Amen? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this purpose statement. May it embolden us. May it motivate us. May it guide us into the future that you have laid for us. Help us to continue to be faithful in all the ways that we are already sharing your grace. And I pray that you would help us to find new ways and unique experiences. And most of all, teach us to learn if we need to and to be courageous about sharing what is so dear and near to our hearts. That is our faith in the Lord Jesus. We ask this in his name. Amen.